Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Would you stand either in body or spirit for the reading of the gospel? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless the hearing of this scripture. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
What is it that you seek? How do you follow the light? Once upon a time, there was a king who wanted to last forever, be like the Energizer Bunny, keep going and going and going and going. He was named king of Judea by the Roman Senate and ruled Jewish Palestine for over 30 years. He was wealthy, politically savvy, extremely loyal to Rome, and remained in good standing with successive Roman empires when Rome couldn't seem to get their act together. He was connected. He knew how to network. And with this imperial position came great power, and he loved it. He levied heavy taxes on citizens, and he resented the people who considered him a usurper of power. Because he knew this, he feared uprisings throughout his reign. He was constantly paranoid, even of his own family. No one was going to steal his light. No one was going to steal his stardom. When he was sick in his later years in life, his fears only increased. Fears became his food day and night. And with these fears, he became crueler, leading to the execution of his own wife and at least two of his sons. Let's just say he wasn't a family man. He trusted no one, and no one trusted him. He saw himself as a star, and no one and nothing was going to tell him what to do or dim his light. King Herod lived this life. And so when Matthew begins the second chapter in the time of King Herod, it is a warning. It is a foreshadowing. It is a sign for us to know that there are many dangers, toils, and snares ahead of this biblical story. Herod thought he was a rising star. But maybe Herod was really a falling star. I'm not an astronomer, but in the physical makeup of the universe, there are falling stars or shooting stars that are streaks of light that you can sometimes see in the night sky. They're caused by tiny bits of dust and rock called meteoroids falling to Earth's atmosphere and burning up. This short-lived trail of light produces a meteor. Meteors are commonly called falling stars or shooting stars. Falling stars may produce some light, but they're short-lived and they eventually burn up. They don't last forever. But Herod did not understand this, because Herod wanted to be the kind of star that lasted forever, filled with that luminous glory as if he would shine forever as a king. But Herod was a falling star. The problem in our world today is that we are told that we too often are falling stars. We're beaten down and bruised by the world. We're confronted with our own abilities, with our own knowledge, with our own skills. And we have to realize that we're getting older when we go to change a sink faucet and ache the next day. Or start to realize that we have to wear glasses more often. Or watch New Year's Eve programming and have to Google the name of the performers doing musical performances. Yes, I used musical in quotes. Too often we feel like we're falling stars and the world beats us down. But that's not what we bring to the manger. It's not what we bring to the king. There are two different responses at Jesus' birth. Some will grieve and some will fear. But despite the fear and the trepidation, we also see gladness in the kings who leave everything behind to worship. These wise men or astrologers or magi, whatever they may be in the various stories and traditions, came to do nothing but to praise Christ. They journeyed a hard and long journey. Not to align themselves with the new king, but to worship the new king. They searched for Jesus in order to worship him, not to hold on to power, not to grasp what they thought was right, not to flaunt their possessions or their pedigree. They were glad to worship the king and to give him gifts rather than to expect gifts in return. They were not there to ask something of this king, not knowing that it would be a baby when they got there, but knowing that they would worship. They were there to give thanks. They stalked the star until they found the Savior, and they lived on that day. So what is it that we seek when we seek out the light? Now, we must acknowledge that not everyone searches for Jesus. We must acknowledge that there are some who are agnostic or apathetic or antagonistic towards religion, that not everyone is in the Christian camp, so to speak. And in an age of secularism and pluralism, there are numerous options for where you can shop for your religious ideas. And I get that. But I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem. God in the flesh, a child born yet a king in a lowly manger. And the reality is that whether you find yourself as a wise man or a magi or a king or a shepherd or a rising star or a falling star, you are searching for something. And you will fill that void with something, whether it is titles or prestige, or as Paul writes in the letter to 1 Corinthians, knowledge which puffs up instead of searching for love which builds up. What is it that we're searching for when we search for Jesus? And why are we searching? Is it to get something from Christ? Is it to serve ourselves? Is it to validate what we think? Or is it to give something of ourselves to God? Are we singing to give honor and reverence to us? Are we praying to give honor and reverence to us? Or are we seeking out Christ? The light of the world shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. You know, a star does three things because it is fire. Fire does three things. It produces light, it produces heat, and it consumes. And the light that the wise men and the magi followed produced light so that others might see. It produced warmth so others might not feel cold and alone. And it consumed all that with which we brought our fears to the manger that night. God with us. We are not falling stars like old King Herod. We are not rising stars like young King Herod. We are star gazers and star chasers, searching for the light, so that we may follow it, we may see it, and we may shine that glorious light wherever we go. It is a reminder for us whenever we come to this table, whenever we break of this bread, whenever we share of this gift, that it is not our gift that we bring, but the gift that Christ offers it to us. And as we come to this table, as one body, as one church, we do so with joyful and glad hearts, knowing that it is the gift that we can never repay with anything on this earth except our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength.